When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Zach stepping in here for a moment just to tell you guys, and hear me when I say this, I truly believe that today's program could dramatically improve your relationship with the Bible. My dad caught up with Miss Tara Lee Cobble a while back to unpack her book, The Bible Recap. And what my dad discovered was that Tara's passion to bring people closer to God by showing them exactly how the Bible is laid out and organized can be the key to a person's embrace and understanding of His holy word. Tara calls it getting to know the character of God by understanding what you read, not just reading it faithfully and obediently, but to come at it with open eyes, an open mind, and an open heart. Lots to learn today, so lean in. I promise you're going to love this intelligent conversation. So let's join my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, joined by Miss Tara Lee Cobble right now.
You and I share a mutual love, and that is simply getting into God's Word and trying to make sure that we're not just spending time in it, that it comes alive in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been involved and you've created a brand new project called the Bible Recap Podcast. You have a book, same name. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how it came about and why it's important to you.
I grew up in a family that loves the Lord, in church three times a week. My dad was the head elder, just saturated in the word. My family owns a Christian bookstore. I grew up in the aisles of that. That was my first job. And yet, by the time I launched into full-time ministry after college, I had not read the Bible. I had not read it. Certainly didn't know fully who God was and didn't understand His character.
I would think that's probably true of a lot of people.
I think it is. Yeah. I think that's what breaks my heart, is that I was following a God that I didn't really know. And I wasn't approaching it as a relationship. I was approaching it as a to-do list. Mm-hmm. And I started this podcast to help people read through the Bible and look for the character of God. Not look for their to-do list, not look for the promises that they want to claim for themselves, but to see who God was, because He's where the joy is. That's where the good stuff happens, is in that relationship with Him. And I wanted them to know that the character of God, the person of Jesus, it's on every page of Scripture. I wanted them to see that, because I grew up in the church and never knew it.
Tara Lee, the issue of biblical illiteracy, mm-hmm. I've read that we really have a problem. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't really understand the word. A lot of people think maybe Joan of Arc's like Noah's wife or something.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, they don't make the connection. Anchoring ourselves. I think most people desire to get into the word. They want to know it better. When you think of scriptures like 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for a lot of things, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto every good work.
Right.
What does that mean to you? Because, you know, I came through, I got trained as a pastor's major in undergrad. I minored in Greek. There were times when I think I was richly into God's word, trying to get my way through it. I think sometimes when people approach the Bible, they take, hey, I'm going to read my Bible through for a year. I'm going to get it done. They did it. I don't know that it did a lot for them.
Right. I think, like you, I want people to read the Bible, but neither of us want it to stop there. We want them to understand the Bible, and then we want them to love the Bible. We don't just want it read. We want it understood. We want it loved. And the way to love the Bible is to stop looking for ourselves in it. So I'll be honest, I spent my whole life dwelling in mostly Psalms and Proverbs. I would occasionally go to Song of Solomon because that's the fun one, right? And then I would read the New Testament books. I did not really dwell in the Old Testament. It felt foreign to me. And like a lot of people, it seemed like God got a personality transplant between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so I didn't like to spend a lot of time there, except in the wisdom literature. And when I started reading through the whole Bible, when I read through the whole thing, and I read it chronologically, the order that the story happened, not the way that it's laid out, I saw the story of God. I fell in love with the person of God. And that's why, you know, when we talk about all scripture being breathed out by God, and Jesus says that the Old Testament is all about him. And so I don't have to wait to the New Testament to get to Jesus. He's in the whole Old Testament. He's all there on every page. And when I started to see that, my heart was transformed. It wasn't just about a checklist item. This is not a box to check. This is air to breathe. This is the very source of my joy in my life. And I want people to not just view it as a bucket list item, like someday I want to say I read the whole Bible. I tell them, I want you to read this every day for the rest of your life. And I want you to understand it, and I want you to love it. It is a relationship with the living God.
I like what you were saying about going to the scriptures looking for myself versus looking for God and seeing God's character.
So every day on the podcast and at the end of every day's reading in the Bible Recap book, we do something called the God Shot, which is a snapshot of God and his character from that day. A lot of the things that I have read as I'm going through Bible studies and I go to seminars and conferences, they end with this application point. What's your takeaway? What are you going to go and how are you going to serve and honor God today? But I don't know about you. I don't want to serve and honor somebody I don't know and love. And so when we just teach people how to apply God's word and how to obey a God they don't love, they're going to do it begrudgingly and not out of an overflow, out of a response. They're going to do it to try to earn something from him. They're going to view him wrongly. And so as I'm looking for application points and takeaways and all of this, here's what happens to me, Tim. When I fail at that day's application point, if the application point is walk in gentleness, but I get angry at the person who cuts me off in traffic and I feel like I failed, then I come back to scripture. If I come back at all, I come back with this burden, this heavy burden. But if I'm looking for God and his character on every page of the Bible, what he loves, what he hates, what motivates him to do what he does, then I am buoyed through my day by the character and the person of God and the love that he has poured out and lavished on me, his daughter, and I live in that space out of my relationship with him. It is a response to love and not a task list. Now, absolutely, there are things God calls us to do. There are application points.
Sure.
But I want to know him and love him and obey him out of that love.
Psalm 119, 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I don't know who said it, but sin will keep me from this book, and this book will keep me from sin. What's your take on that application for a moment? This word of God divides the soul.
It reveals our hearts to us.
It does.
I think when I was looking for myself, I was serving as my own sort of Pharisee. I was being the person who was setting about to attain my own righteousness. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. take my yoke upon you. And so I want to take his yoke upon me. I want to be following him out of love. The Spirit prompts this response of obedience in us when we love him. He prompts this love in us that we wouldn't have otherwise, apart from his work in us. And I can't obey my way into that kind of thing. That is his work in me to transform my heart. And when I fall in love with him, I'll do whatever he says. That is how the word lays me open, reveals my desires, reveals my ill motives, and then also transforms me as I fix my eyes on him. He is the author and perfecter of my faith. He wrote it and he perfects it, not me.
In today's culture, we're flooded with all kinds of resources and tools, mm-hmm. things to help us, quote, understand the scriptures better and more. I don't have a problem with them. Mm-hmm. But when you only live in them and you don't live in the Word of mm-hmm. God, if you're not anchored in the Word of God. And when I look at today's generations, are you concerned about the younger generations and the instruction of Scripture?
I'm concerned about all generations, honestly. With the Bible Recap, we have listeners. Today I met a 10-year-old who's doing the Bible Recap with his mom. Mm. And I met a 65-year-old who said, I've never read through the Bible until now, until I did it with the Bible Recap. And so people who've grown up in the church might be just as biblically illiterate as somebody who hasn't engaged with Scripture at all. But what I see in the younger generation that gives me hope for the younger generation is, I heard somebody say not long ago that every generation asks a question that God uses to draw them to himself. And so for my parents' generation, that question was, what is true? And when they look for truth, they find the Lord. So the process that we use with the Bible Recap is we do the 1-year chronological reading plan.
Okay.
And again, that's not front to back in your Bible, but it is the storyline as it happened.
Right.
And I didn't know that. I thought the Bible was laid out chronologically. I didn't know it was laid out like a library, sections, history, wisdom. And so you read through it chronologically. It's about 12 minutes of reading a day for most people, and it's about 3 chapters a day. You read that 12 minutes, and then with the Bible Recap podcast, it's about an 8-minute podcast where I tell you what you just read, why it's important, maybe some cultural or historical context that didn't make itself evident in the text. And then I try to answer the questions that people have about the text we just read, because to me, that was what kept me from reading the whole Bible all along, was I didn't understand it. Why is it important? Why do I need to know this?
I think it's true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They get to struggling. You try to plow through Leviticus or something. It's
And so what I try to do with the podcast is assume what their questions might be and then get ahead of those and answer them. So the minute they finish reading, they come and listen to my 8 to 10 minute podcast and I explain what they just read and try to answer their questions. And they can do the podcast 8 minutes a day, or they can do 2 pages in the book. Now, it's a big book, but it's 2 pages a day. That's bite-sized. It's manageable. And so what I want to tell people is you can read through the whole Bible in a year in 12 minutes a day. And if you have 20 minutes a day, you can do the Bible and this podcast, or the Bible and this book.
You know, when you explain it like that, you can sit back and say, I can do that.
Absolutely. It's so doable.
But people often get behind, uh-huh. and then it stacks up, and then they feel like they have to catch up, and they can't catch up, mm-hmm. so they feel ashamed. They have mm-hmm. shame, and mm-hmm. shame's like guilt.
Right.
And then I just what?
Quit. Yeah. I'll start again next January 1st. That's what they do, right? You know, I tell my friends who are perfectionists, and sometimes I tell this to myself when my perfectionism comes out, is my perfectionism hasn't served me. It doesn't serve me well. It doesn't serve my relationships. It doesn't serve my heart. All it does is promote arrogance if I nail it, or shame if I fail it.
Sure.
And so I got to get rid of my perfectionism. And I want to be drawn into this. And every day that I read it, that's a win. So some people, it may take them 2.5 years to do a 1-year Bible plan. That's okay. Every day that you're in God's Word, you're right on time. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the obstacles that we encounter.
A lot.
Our perfectionism is one of the obstacles. Mm-hmm. But also, learning style is one of the obstacles.
Sure.
So some people aren't visual learners. Some people are auditory learners. So we have great things like the Bible app, Bible.com. If you don't have a smartphone, you can have the Bible read to you. If you are an auditory learner, it will read it to you. If you're a slow reader, if you can't read, there are technologies that will help you to be able to get the word in your heart, even if you don't get it in your eyes. Even when you're trying to read through those genealogies and you're like, I'm trying to pronounce these names and I cannot use the audio version on that day. Let them read it to you. And then that's not an obstacle. I want to get all the obstacles out of the way that keep people from reading, understanding, and loving God's word. And other technologies like audio Bibles are helpful for that.
Pain and confusion can also be a deterrent because we get to thinking too much or wondering if God really is there for me. If he was there for me, life should be different.
Right.
We place expectations on God. We place expectations on what we think should happen if we're faithful.
Right.
You know, I think people often question whether or not God sees their faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that as a barrier or challenge for people?
I do think it is. I think it's very crafty of the enemy to sometimes use our time in God's word to make us doubt his goodness. And that happens often if we're looking for ourselves. If we're looking for ourselves in scripture and like, well, God's supposed to make all my dreams come true if I'm reading his Bible. If I'm being faithful, he's supposed to make everything happen the way I want it to. We get to that conclusion because we pull passages out of context to make them mean what we want them to mean instead of looking at them in context.
Yeah.
Or we reach that conclusion because we act like God is transactional instead of relational.
Sure we do.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's very natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do with the podcast and the book is every day looking for the goodness of God's character on those pages. And sometimes you have to zoom out to see it because sometimes, you know, if you're a parent and you discipline your child and somebody walks in while you're disciplining them, they might view you as a bad parent. If you're withholding something from your child at the store that they want you to buy for them, and somebody sees you telling them, I'm not buying that for you, they might view you as mean and cruel and withholding. But when you zoom out and you see the whole lens of how that parent treats their child, how they love them well, how they serve them, how they sacrifice for them, how maybe they're withholding that present because maybe they already bought it for them and it's at home and it's waiting for them for their birthday.
Mm.
You never know. So sometimes that little chunk of scripture that we lean into and we're like, well, God, why aren't you being kind? That's where my heart gets unlocked from the lie that the enemy's trying to hold me captive with.
I think a lot of people miss that piece.
Yeah. So the verse that comes to mind, and then I'm going to go back to the fear of the Lord. The verse that comes to mind is Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. He's not just doing what is best and right. He's doing what is kind. That sometimes no is his kindest answer to me. Sometimes if he were to say yes to the things I asked him for, it would be less kind. And I don't have the omniscience to see that, but he does. And he knows I'm going to be frustrated with him in the meantime. Yet he's still going to do what's best for me, even though I'm angry with him for what I don't understand and can't yet see.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said the fear of the Lord, that's also another thing that I have learned about looking for the character of God. I once heard a pastor say that the fear of the Lord consists primarily of delight and awe. Every time we see that phrase, fear of the Lord in scripture, the context of it and the particular word used in Hebrew has this different connotation than terror. It's this fear that is a fear that draws us near. It is delight and awe. It's like the way we feel about the Grand Canyon. Like we're in awe of it. We plan vacations to drive there and stand on the edge of it and look into it and be blown away by the magnitude of it, knowing that if we fell in, it could kill us. You know, it's powerful. It's magnificent. But we're drawn to this very powerful thing. Whereas the other kind of fear referenced in scripture, totally different Hebrew word to reference it, I don't know what that Hebrew word is because I don't speak Hebrew, but I've done the word study on it, and I can tell you that it's a totally different word, and it is the one that talks about terror and running from something. The fear of the Lord actually draws us to him instead of pushes us away from him.
So as you go into these pages of God's word, you begin to realize this is God's gift, his letter, his revelation of himself to us, and then it's illuminated to us by the Spirit of God. Can you speak to that too, about his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and he illuminates the scriptures to us.
Yeah. So he wrote it all, you know? He wrote it all, and he's so patient to reveal it to us and to help us understand what it means. The fact that the Spirit of God dwells in believers, that we have this gift that nobody else has, that he helps us understand. He's like this translator making some of these very ancient, sometimes very confusing words, illuminating them, like you said, making them make sense to us, making them jump off the page at us where they would normally fall flat. And maybe where they have fallen flat in the past, I'm sure you've had it happen, where verses that have never meant anything to you have jumped off the page, or verses that you've never understood, and you're like, what? How did I never see that? And the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And Jesus said he will guide us into all truth, that the Spirit will guide us into the truth. And he does that. He's such a great teacher, such a great guide, so patient. And here's what I love about that, besides just how awesome it is on its own. I love that I'm going to be reading this book every day for the rest of my life, and it's never going to get boring. The Word of God is living and active, and this is every day has a transformative power in my life because the Holy Spirit keeps teaching me. He keeps showing me new stuff. It's amazing. You know, we wrote the Bible Recap podcast. We started in 2019. Do you know how many episodes I've gone back to edit because I learned something new, even though I spent 100 hours a week for 15 months building this content? And yet, as I keep reading through Scripture, I'm like, ah, how did I not see that before? I got to go edit that episode and drop that in. That is the beauty of podcasts, is I can edit it and I can beef it up with the new knowledge.
How many times I have looked at certain passages and I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Spiritual intimacy in marriage, our relationships. Mm-hmm. I think if there's a challenge, boy, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. I think it's partly because it demands such vulnerability. It's tough to pray with somebody, to read scripture with somebody you don't like or you're mad at.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, but nevertheless, there's something about when the Word of God intersects with human need, mm-hmm. healing can take place.
Yeah.
You know, they say in marriage, you should never use scripture to change your spouse, mm-hmm. but you should always engage scripture together because it will result in changed lives. Yeah. That's the end game.
Mm-hmm. And what he initiates, he will sustain and he will fulfill, not me. What I initiate, I will have to sustain and I will probably fail at trying to fulfill it. But when God begins a relationship with a person, he will continue to work in them to change them. And so as the more we engage with him, the more we become like him. You know, they say you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. If God is a person that you spend time with every day, you're going to become more like him. You're going to be conformed to his image simply by being around him. You're going to start to talk like he talks. You're going to start to recognize the words he uses. You're going to start to act like he acts just by being around him more.
You are who you spend time with.
Yeah. And so when you and your spouse are both doing that, guess what? You don't have to do the changing because God is doing the changing. God is the one who's making your spouse more like himself. I've heard from countless people who said, reading through the Bible together, like they did the Bible recap together, but I don't put the credit to the Bible recap. I put the credit to the Bible, that because they decided to do this plan together where they read through the Bible together, God saved their marriage and changed their life.
Okay, I'm out here, I'm listening, and I've just raised my hand. I want to know how to do the Bible recap. What can I do? Where can I go?
Okay.
I want to be a part of the
process.
All
right, perfect. TheBibleRecap.com/start gives you everything you need to know. Here's why we have that page built out. Because there are people who were auditory learners, because there are people who are visual learners. So we give all the options. We're a plan on the Bible app if people like to do technology. But if you don't like to do technology, I have a book. You can buy the book. You know, there are just loads of options, free and costly. We have it in Spanish. We have it in American Sign Language. So thebiblerecap.com/start tells you everything you need to know.
Tara Lee Cobb, our guest today. What a delightful conversation. It's all about getting back into God's Word.
Hey, my friend, Zach here. Just to say I hope you enjoyed my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, with Miss Tara Lee Cobble from the Bible Recap Ministry. Go to TaraLeeCobble.com to find out more on her Bible study guides and books. Again, that's TaraLeeGh and then Cobble like the cobblestone street. God's richest blessings to you and yours as you continually grow deeper in His Word.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for The Center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The Center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call The Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for The Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at The Center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.